Hey, Lake Center Baptist Church, Pastor Caleb here. Good morning to you, and welcome to our second ever online worship experience. Of course, last week was the very first time that we have ever done something like this, and because of the situation that is going around all over the world, we are required to continue to do this. And today is week number two, so thank you guys so much for choosing to be here this morning. Personally, I would much rather be with you face to face, being able to really shake your hand, being able to really give you a big old hug. But because of the circumstances, we are not allowed to do that during this time. So thank you so much for joining me here this morning. I also want to say this. Thank you so much just for your support during this time. Again, we may not like, you know, having to meet with each other virtually, but we have to do it just to, you know, for precautions to be safe, to make sure that no one else is infected by this virus. So thank you so much just for your support in this, and also thank you so much just for your flexibility in this as well. I'm just so thankful for that. I do want to issue this reminder that if you need anything at all during this time, maybe you need some groceries or you have something in your at your house that you really need, please let somebody know. Please let us know. We have people who have called the church, who have come by and told me, hey, if anyone needs anything, please let me know. I want to serve them. So we have people who are simply waiting to help you if you need anything. And if you do need anything, please do us a favor and call the church at 918-257-5202, 918-257-5202. And please let us know. We want to serve you. And I want to say thank you as well, just to each one of you, for you continuing to be the church. I said this last week, that the church, of course, is not a building. The church is the people of God, and you have continued to be the church. And I just want to say thank you so much for doing that. And I just want to just encourage you to continue to do that. Continue to be the church. Continue to call each other. Continue to text each other. Continue to check on one another. Continue to serve your neighbor if you are able to do that in any way possible. Just continue to be the church. And I know that God is using you in a great and powerful and mighty way. So thank you so much for doing that. Continue to be the church right where you are at. I also want to say this. Thank you so much for your continued generosity in your financial giving. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for your continued giving during this time. Of course, we at this church, we still have bills to pay. We still have a mortgage payment that we are making. To the best of our ability, we are still desiring to perform ministry. We are still doing ministry. We still have staff to take care of. So thank you so much for your continued giving, for your continued financial support, for your continued offerings. By way of reminder, there are, of course, three ways that you can give here at Lake Center. You can go to our website, lakecenter.church/giving, and you can give online. You can also mail a check to the church, or you can come by the office during office hours, Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And also, we also have a mailbox just outside of the church that is actually considered a drop box, and you can drop tithes and offerings in that way. So thank you so much for your continued giving. What I want to do right now is I just want to, before we go into just a little Bible study, is I want to have just a time of prayer. And this is really the same way that we prayed last week. And it's just a prayer about just the many things that we are facing, of course, in our community, in our state, in our nation, and all over the world. And I want to invite you right now, just to the best of your ability, to still your heart, to still your mind, to still your spirit. Maybe you have kiddos in the room. I know we have kiddos, of course. And even to the best of your ability, to try to even still them if they would sit there next to you. And what I want to do is invite you right now. Is I just want to invite you just to close your eyes with me. Just close your eyes with me and just be still before the Lord for these next few moments. And I want to just guide us in a time of prayer. Would you pray for the coronavirus to be contained and to decline? Would you pray for that right now? Would you pray for those who are infected to be healed? Would you pray that people would have the peace of Jesus instead of fear and confusion? Would you pray for wisdom for our government and health officials as they lead our communities and nations, and as they make decisions, would you pray for them right now? Would you pray for protection for our healthcare workers and missionaries who are serving all around the world? Would you just pray for their protection right now? And lastly, would you pray for the gospel to spread and for people to turn to Jesus, that God would use this pandemic for the honor and the glory and the praise of his name? And Father, we come before your throne this morning. And Lord, we give this pandemic over to you. Lord, you see what we're facing, God, in our community, in our state, Father, in our nation, and all over the world. You see it all. And God, we simply give it to you. Father, we do ask and pray that this virus would be contained and it would start to decline. God, we do ask and pray for those who are infected all over the world, that they would be healed. God, we pray that people would have the peace of Jesus instead of fear, God, and instead of confusion. God, we ask and pray that you would give our government leaders and those who lead out in the healthcare sectors, Father, we just ask and pray that you would give them wisdom as they are making decisions every single day. God, for those who are serving on the front lines, our healthcare workers and missionaries all around the world, Father, we ask and pray, Lord, that you would keep them, God, from getting this virus, that you would protect them, oh God. And Father, we ask and pray that you would use this pandemic, Lord, for the spread of the gospel, and that we would see thousands upon thousands of people come to Jesus Christ, Lord, that they would realize their need for a Savior, and Father, that they would repent of their sin and turn their lives and come back to you. God, would you call people back to yourself as a result, Lord, of this pandemic that is plaguing our world? Would you do that, Father? God, we love you, and we say this morning that we trust you. God, we need you. And God, we thank you that you are still good and on your throne. In your name we pray. Amen. Pardon me. I apologize for that. I have allergies. I hope and pray that I don't have the virus. I feel great, but I do have some allergies. So I apologize if I sneeze during this or I cough during this as well. What I want to do right now is I just want to make a few points about all that we are facing. This past week, I actually had a message that I thought that I was supposed to share, and I did all the recording work for it, all the prep work for it. I sent it over to Tyson and to Natasha, and they worked really, really hard on preparing it and getting it all together, making the slides, getting it all prepped to be put on all of our outlets that we use for this video. And on Saturday morning, yesterday morning, I woke up and God said, "That's not what I want." I was like, what? That's not what you want? No, I want you to share something else. And I said, okay, God, what do you want me to share? And I just sat down and I just started writing out some thoughts. So what you're getting ready to hear just for these next few moments is something that's just really just on my heart. These points that I'm going to make are just on my heart. And what I want to do right now is just be your friend. I want to just be your pastor. And I just want to remind you, and I'm reminding myself, I want to remind us all of some things. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to share a lot of scripture, a lot of scripture. A lot of times whenever I preach a funeral or I do a funeral, what I simply do is I simply just share scripture, because what we need most all the time, but especially during times of loss, during times of hurt, and also during times of uncertainty, what we need the most is not my words, but what we need the most is simply the Word of God. So what I'm going to do right now is just simply share my heart with you, and I'm going to make some points. We may or may not have the scriptures up for you to read. The message that I had prepared later on or earlier on this week, we did have the scriptures ready to show, but I went ahead and just made some changes because I felt like the Spirit of God was telling me to do that. And so I'm just going to share my heart with you, and I hope and pray that this, that these next few points are just, they're comforting to your soul, because what I'm getting ready to share are things that really I need to hear personally as well. And I just want to make just a few points, and I hope and pray that these points just encourage you and they bless you during this time and during this pandemic. And the very first point that I want to make, based on all that we're dealing with and based on all that we're facing, is this. And I'm going to read it two times. Number one, in times of uncertainty, God sees the future. In times of uncertainty, God sees the future. And guess what? What we are facing are some uncertain times. We don't understand, you know, what tomorrow holds. We don't understand what's going to happen in our government, in our state, in our communities. We just don't know. There's a lot of things that are going on that are uncertain right now. But I just want to remind myself, and I just want to remind you, that while we may not understand how tomorrow is going to play out, while we may not understand how the next 6 weeks are going to play out, or on through the summer, or even into the fall of next year, we don't get all that. It's a very uncertain time. But I do want to remind myself, and I do want to remind you, is that our God sees the future. Guess what? He's already there. He sees how it's all going to play out. He knows tomorrow. He knows next week. He knows next month. He knows the next 6 months. He knows the next 6 years. Our God already sees it. Our God is already there. So please, this morning, I just want to encourage you, in this time of uncertainty, you can rest in the fact that our God sees the future. I read from Psalm 139 last week, and I get it. I say this about all of the scriptures that I teach from, that I read, but Psalm 139 is just by far, it's just one of my favorite psalms. It just reminds us so much about God and who He is and how much He cares for us and how much He loves us. But this psalm, Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, it talks about how God, He sees everything. He sees every single detail. And I just want to read this scripture for you. It's Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. David said, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth." He says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them." And King David is saying, God, before I was even born, you saw what I looked like. You saw my unformed substance. You saw the days that were planned for me. God, you are able to see the future. And please just be reminded of that today, is that while we cannot see the future, our God is already there and He sees the future. In times of uncertainty, God sees the future. Number two, in times of change, God is the same. He is the same. I love the scripture. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. We've had to deal with a lot of change. I mean, just being here in this office and speaking a message through a camera is a lot of change for me. Not being able to see my church family and being able to pastor my church family face to face it's a big change for me. You sitting in your homes when you are used to coming to the house of worship together with the people of God is a big change for you. You know, not being certain about your job and understanding what tomorrow holds is a big change for you. We're all facing a lot of change, but let's just be reminded that as there's so much change that we're dealing with, God does not change. He's the same God that was there whenever he spoke the world into existence, the same God that brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, the same God that sent us the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the same God who is on his throne is the exact same God who will never, ever change. So in times of change, listen, our God is the same, and may we rest in that today. Point number three, in times of misunderstanding, let's be reminded that God sees the big picture. I don't understand all that's going on. I don't get it. I don't understand all that we're facing. I don't understand all that you're dealing with in your uncertainties. I don't understand all of it. It is a big misunderstanding for me. But let's just be reminded that our God is not bound by that. He doesn't misunderstand anything. He understands everything. And he sees the big picture. We don't have a clue what our God is up to. I believe with all my heart that he is going to use this pandemic, that he is going to use this virus for the glory and the honor and the praise of his name. We just don't know. And we may not ever know until we get to heaven as a church. We just came through the book of Ruth. And we saw in that book where Naomi went through just a tough time. But guess what? Naomi went to Moab. And Ruth, her daughter-in-law, she came back from Moab with Naomi back to Bethlehem. And what did we get out of that? We got Jesus, the Son of God. And God saw all of that. He saw the big picture. And what we're facing today, we may not understand it, but God sees the big picture. He is doing something that we cannot understand. I love this scripture from Isaiah 55, which says, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, if we had our way, we would snap our fingers and all of this would be over with. Or if we had our way, none of this would have even happened. But guess what? God's ways are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. So please, let's just rest in the fact that during this time of misunderstanding, our God is doing something and he sees the big picture. Next, number four, in times of suffering, God is doing a work. And I've already kind of spoke to that. Again, a lot of us are having to suffer. We may have family members who are sick, family members that we cannot see. We may be suffering in the fact that we may not, you know, have a job tomorrow or not. We're suffering in the fact that we can't have community, that we can't be with each other as we are created to do, as we love to do, as we long to do. There's lots of suffering going on. There's lots of suffering going on, of course, in our state, all across our nation with all the people who are hurting, and all over our world. There is a lot of suffering going on. But I think, I know that we can rest in the fact that in the midst of suffering, God is doing a work. He always does a work whenever we suffer. Peter says, in 1 Peter 5:10, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. You see, suffering has a purpose. And Peter says here that after you have suffered for a while, God has a purpose for it. And the purpose of that is this, to restore you, to confirm you, to strengthen you, and to establish you. There have been times in my life where God has allowed me to suffer. And in the midst of that suffering, I've never understood it. God, why are you allowing me to deal with this? Why are you allowing me to go through this? Why are you allowing our family to face this? But every single time, as I have come out of that suffering, I look back on that suffering and I'm just so thankful for it. And I look back on it after the suffering and I look back on it, and I think to myself, I would not have it any other way, because God was doing a work in me. He was purifying me. He was squeezing some things out of me, and I'm grateful for it. So be reminded, in times of suffering, God is doing something, and he is doing something in you. He is doing a work. Romans 5, Paul says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Wow. What an amazing verse. What an amazing just encouragement this morning, that we as the people of God can rejoice in our sufferings. Paul says this, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Again, suffering has a purpose, and in suffering, God is doing a work, and he's doing a work in you. He's doing a work in our church. And let's just rejoice in that today to the best of our ability, that in our suffering, God is up to something. He's up to something good, and he is up to something big. And that's all over our world. But at the same time, that suffering is in us. Number 5, in times of chaos, God is peace. It's been chaotic, right? Past several weeks have just been crazy. Again, lots of uncertainty, lots of things we don't know about, lots of things that we don't understand. But in these times of chaos, we can rest in the fact that our God is peace. Guess what? Our God today is on his throne. He's not up in heaven going crazy. He's not up in heaven worrying about anything. He's not up in heaven wondering how all this is going to play out. He's not up in heaven, you know, concerned. Our God is at total peace. And you can be at peace this morning too. I just want to remind you that our God is a God of peace. He's not a God of fear. He's not a God of confusion. He's a God, not a God of chaos. He's a God of peace. You may be concerned. You may be worried. I have been concerned. I have been worried. And that might be you this morning, and rightfully so. We're facing things that we've never had to face before. But guess what? Our God is a God of peace. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't worry, he says. Be thankful. Even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of uncertain times, he says, be thankful. Let your requests be made known to God. And then he says, this is the result in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As a pastor, I get to see this peace played out all the time. And I get to see this peace played out through you, the people of God, all the time. I've seen you face uncertain times. I've seen you face heartache. I've seen you face suffering. I've seen you face loss. I've seen you face death. And I've seen you walk in the peace of God. In times of chaos, our God is peace. Rest in his peace today. Number 6, in times of lack, God is provision. Many of you might be thinking, where's my next paycheck going to come from? I'm on the verge of losing my job. I don't know how we're going to get groceries. If this continues to play out, we're not going to be able to get groceries in the next 2 weeks. Some of you might be wondering, where am I going to get my next roll of toilet paper? Bible says this, that God will give us our daily bread. He has to, because the word of God says that he cannot lie. He cannot lie. He has to provide for you. He has to provide for us. Whenever you are following God and walking in his ways and walking under his authority and doing what he says, he has to take care of you. He has to provide for you. He will take care of his children. Paul says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our God's going to provide for you. Don't worry. Don't fret. You may not see how he's going to provide tomorrow, but he will give you your daily bread. He will give you what you need. I love what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? You can even say it like this. Where are we going to get our next roll of toilet paper from? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and yet your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows what you need. I love this. Jesus says, but don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of you. But Jesus says, this is what you are supposed to do. What a great life verse. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus is saying, don't worry. Just seek my kingdom. Just seek my glory. Walk with me. Seek after me. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to take care of you. In times of lack, our God is provision. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns it all. He will take care of you. He will provide for you. Number 7. And I want us to be reminded of this. In times of loss, God is good. Can you just be reminded of that today? I need to hear that myself. Of course, there's a lot of hurt, a lot of suffering, a lot of sickness, a lot of people who are dying. You've faced loss. You have faced hurt. You have faced suffering. Just be reminded today, son of God, daughter of God, believer in Christ, that in times of loss, our God is still good. He's good. Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. Again, we may not understand everything. We don't, but we do understand this. We do understand that our God is good. He's kind. He's loving. He's gentle. He is merciful. He is good. Rest in his goodness today. Number eight. In times where there is no control, God is still on his throne. You may be thinking to yourself, the world's lost it. The world has gone chaotic. The world is out of control. Nations are out of control. This is out of control. That's out of control. Listen, some things may be out of control. Yes, I get that. There might be some things in your life that's out of control. But please be reminded that God is not out of control. He is still high and exalted in the heavens. Pardon me. Allergies, I promise. He is still high and exalted in the heavens. He is still on his throne. He is still sovereign over all, and he is still in control. Isaiah 41:10, God says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In times where there is no control, listen, our God is still on his throne. So what I want to do right now is I just want to, after I have just reminded us of these truths that come from the Word of God, and this is not an expositional message. I very rarely do this. I love to work my way through a passage of Scripture, but I just, for my own heart, and I feel like for just the heart of our people, I just needed to remind us of some truths. I want to just give us, I believe it's 4 application points. What should we be doing during this time? But also, let's just say that God moves us out of this in 6 weeks. What should we be doing all the time? Even in times where things are good, here's 4 application points. Number 1, this is for myself as well. Let's just worship God during this time. One of the greatest things that you can do in times of goodness, but also in times of stress, in times of chaos, in times of uncertainty, is to simply worship God. That's the greatest commandment. Jesus himself says in Matthew 22, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. What's the very first thing that we're called to do in times of goodness, in times of hard times? We're called to worship God. So this morning, as the people of God, we're not able to gather together corporately, and I wish we could. I'm looking forward to that day, to whenever we can sing the praises of God together as one, and we can hear each other's voices, and we can fellowship with one another, and we can study the Word of God together. But in the meantime, we have to worship God every single day of our lives. So here are some ways that you can worship God. Number 1, through personal Bible study, whether that's in the morning or whether that's you know, before you go to bed or sometime during the day, whenever you just have some free time, spend some time in the incredible Word of God. Number two, by praying to Him. Spend some time in prayer every single day. Number three, by listening to music on your phone or in the car or playing some music through your TV or however you do that. One of my favorite ways to worship God is to go on a run and to plug some music into my ears and just go for a run. I don't run fast. I'm not the best runner in the world, but it's a great time of worship just to be able to worship God and to sing praises to Him. Excuse me. Go for a walk. Just go for a walk. We have lots of time these days to be able to get outside and to enjoy just some incredible fresh air and look at the trees, look at the skies, look at things that are outside at nature and just go and worship God that way. You know, going and just sitting outside in stillness is a great way to worship God. So during this time, let's just give worship and praise to God. It'll do wonders for your spirit. It'll do wonders for your soul. Number two, trust God. Again, we don't understand how this is all going to play out, but we are following the one who does, God. So let's just trust Him during this time. You know, my kids, they look to me and they trust me. They trust me and they sometimes do what I say and sometimes, but they look to me as their Abba Father, as their daddy, and they know that I have their best interests at heart. And let's just trust our God. Let's trust in the fact that He is good and that He has our best interests at heart. This is a great life verse, and many of you have claimed this as your life verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Let's not lean on what we understand. What we understand might be confusing, but guess what? God understands everything. We can lean on Him and we can trust Him during this time. Number three, application point. Rest in God. I need to hear that today. Let's just rest in God. You can be still before Him. You can relax a little bit, maybe a lot. Just rest today. This Sunday morning, this Sunday afternoon, go take a nap. I'm going to try to, hopefully. My kids aren't going too crazy. Go take a nap. Enjoy this Sabbath day. Enjoy this day that He has created for you to rest. Rest in Him. Even if we get crazy news tomorrow, rest in our God. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. On your couch this morning, be still. When you go to bed tonight, lay your head on that pillow, be still. He's God. You can rest. And lastly, I had to point us to the cross. I had to point us to Jesus. I had to point us to salvation. The last point of application is this: confess Jesus as Lord for the forgiveness of sin. Romans 3 says this: for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What's sin? Sin, mistakes that we've done, bad things that we've done. Me, my wife, my family, we all have sin in our life. And because of our sin, we cannot measure up to God's righteousness. We cannot measure up to God's holiness. We've fallen short of Him because of sin. Romans 6:23 says this: for the wages of that sin is death. In other words, what we deserve because of our sin is death. And what that's talking about is not just a physical death. That's talking about a spiritual death. That's talking about a spiritual separation from God for all of eternity. That's what we deserve because of our sin. But there's a second part to Romans 6:23. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, the only way that we can have our sin forgiven is through Jesus Christ and through what He has done for us on the cross. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. What's that mean? That means that we realize that we are sinners and that we are desperately in need of a Savior. And by us calling on the name of Jesus Christ to save you and believing in His finished work on the cross, we're saved. We're saved from the penalty of our sin. And as a result of that, by submitting our lives to Him and giving our lives to Christ and submitting our lives to His Lordship, we have the hope of eternal life in heaven. In other words, if we were to unfortunately get sick, if we unfortunately were to pass away from this earth soon, we go to heaven to be with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever in eternity. Romans 10, Paul says this, Romans 8, Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Meaning this, that whenever you are in Christ Jesus, He does not see your mistakes. He does not see your sin. He doesn't see that. He is not condemning you. He only sees you through the lens of His Son, Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation whenever you are in Jesus Christ. You might be worried this morning about mistakes or your sin or your past. Listen, God doesn't see it. He casts your sin as far as the east is from the west. He does not see it. He loves you more than I could possibly explain. He loves you with an eternal love. There's no condemnation for you today. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Paul says in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. We confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We give our lives to Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, by believing in His finished work on the cross, we are saved. And if you have never confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and made Him the Lord of your life, and submitted your life to Him and committed your life to Him, I just want to encourage you. In just a few moments, we're going to bow our heads and we're going to close our eyes. And I just want to encourage you to call on Jesus Christ to save you. You might think to yourself, well, I have to give up this, or I have to go away from that, or I'll lose that. Please understand that whenever you come to Christ, you lose nothing. You gain everything. You gain hope. You gain peace. You gain abundant life. Most importantly, you gain an everlasting life. You gain a friend. You gain the grace and the mercy of God. You don't lose anything. No, you gain everything when you come to Jesus. It will be a decision you will never, ever, 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 ever regret. So what do we do during this time of uncertainty? We worship God. We give honor and praise to the beautiful name of our God, to the beautiful name of Jesus. We trust Him. We rest in Him. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? And maybe you're listening today and you never have confessed Jesus as Lord. You've never repented of your sin and called on the name of Jesus to save you. Would you do that right now? Right from your seat, you can call on Him to save you. You can maybe say something like this to God. And again, just mean this from the depths of your heart. God, I know that I'm a sinner. God, I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I receive the sacrifice of Jesus. I confess Jesus as Lord. I submit my life to His Lordship. Thank you, God, for saving me. And maybe this morning you've done that, and I just want to encourage you to let somebody know. Talk to a pastor. Talk to myself. Follow that up with believer's baptism. Doesn't save you, but believer's baptism is symbolic. And then commit your life to follow Jesus the best that you know how. Get involved in a church. Get involved in a class, a Sunday school class, a small group. Be around other believers. Commit your life to follow Him the best that you know how. Get into the Word of God. As a result of you calling on Jesus Christ, listen, you have gone from darkness to light. You have gone from death to life. And we celebrate that this morning. We praise God for that this morning. Number two, let's worship God. Number three, let's trust God. Number four, let's just rest in God. God, we love You. We worshiped You today because You are good, because You are kind, because You are merciful, because You are looking out for us, Your children. God, we trust You. But we don't understand how this is all going to play out, and You see it all. And we simply hold on to You. We trust You. And Father, lastly, help us just to rest in You. God, help us to be still and to know that You are God. Father, we love You. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for Your goodness. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for spending your time with us this morning. And again, we don't know about next week, April the 5th. As soon as we get more information, if we are able to gather, we will let you know. But thank you so much again for tuning in with us here this morning. Again, just by way of reminder, if you need something, if you need anything at all, please call the church. Please let somebody know, and we want to do our best to be able to help you. Again, I'm looking forward to that day, to whenever we can gather together as the church assemble all as one in one place, to be able to worship Him together, to be able to sing His praises together, to be able to study the Word of God together. But until that day, please know this, that I love you, I love you, I love you, and I am praying for you, and I cannot wait to see you as soon as possible. God bless. Hope and pray I get to see you soon. Love you guys. Bye-bye.